today it's just coming up to 10 to 2 on Saturday the 20th of October 2018, and we're recording Gerry O'Reilly. And Gerry, do you want to tell me a little bit about how it all got started with you?
Well, I worked in the TV and radio business from the early, well, from the mid 70s, and that time just in the early days just black and white, and quite a lot of people would have been getting in radios because electricity was only in the rural part of the country for about 14 or 15 years. So some of them would have been still using the old battery radio. So that's how I got involved. It was in the family. I had an uncle in the business, and he would go out, put in a radio and put up an outdoor aerial, which was a piece of wire and an earth. So we became very interested in it at school, and then I started serving my time when I was 18 in the communications radio business, and that's how it developed into the transmission around about 1980. And then I built a little transmitter at home, and people that time were very, very nervous of the law, and my mother was very upset about it, and she got on to the local priest and contacted the local county councillor at the time, and they came and visited me, and so we had to cease broadcasting. So then a few of the stations, like Nova, some of those, I think, came on, and Independent Radio Drogheda, I think it was, and then we were tuned, and we decided to get involved in it more so. So I met up with Eddie Caffrey. I met up with Peter Gibney and Tony Mulligan back, I think it was around about 81 or 82, while they were setting up CCR in Cavan. So I got involved in it from then on. I worked with Eddie Caffrey. So it became a full-time career then from then until the 90s.
So what stations would you have been working with in those days?
Starting off would have been CCR in Cavan. Then there was Breffni Radio in Cavan. And I'd done a little bit for Ironside Radio. And then I went, I set up, Breffni Radio in Cavan set up another station down in Longford. I just can't think of the name of it at the moment. I think it could have been called Midland Radio. 10:35 was the frequency on AM. And then I set up another one in Longford, which was the old ARD transmitter, arrived down in Longford, and a fella called Noel Chastity got it. And after that, the first one I done was NWCR in Buncrana, County Donegal. That was on 1116 kilohertz. And after that, then I was involved with Hometown Radio in Monaghan, which was in Castle Blaney, 981 kilohertz. Big M Radio. I didn't build the original transmitter for those, of course, but I maintained it and done all the aerial work and all that, and the links. Would have built a lot of those. After that was Paul Claffey down in Midwest Radio in Mayo. Eddie Caffrey built the transmitter, and I installed and built the links on 1332 was the frequency there. And then we built another one away down the west for him on 1233. So with Eddie, I would have been looking after parts of his empire up in the East Coast, was Byneside Radio. And then we had East Coast Radio, which was broadcasting from RD in County Louth. Then there was, I'm trying to go through the early ones first. over in County Leitrim, you had Melvin Country Radio, which was owned by, I think it was Jerry Farry. And that became Glencoe Radio in Donegal. I looked after that. They were all AM transmitters. Then there was Radio North in Carndun and Donegal on 846, which shared the same frequency in AM as Sunshine Radio in Dublin. And there was another one, I think it could have been called Riverside Radio, another AM, of course, close to Derry City. And then there was, before that was DCR in Letterkenny. That was the first big one, which is now Highland Radio, or some of the DJs would be Highland.
On average, what sort of wattage would we be talking about for most of these stations?
1,000 watts, kilowatt. Then I worked for Sean Coyne in Radio West in Mullingar, and he had the old Radio Nova transmitter, which he bought of Chris Carey. And the selling point that Chris Carey had when he sold him that transmitter was, I spoke to Sean this morning about this, Chris Carey told him that the first broadcast ever on the 10 kilowatt transmitter was the announcement that President Kennedy had been shot. The actual transmitter was allegedly have come from Dallas. And that's where, that was the claim to fame that Sean had. After that, then there was a number of different stations started. There was Rainbow Radio up in South County Louth, North County Louth, sorry, on the border, which was Eugene Markey. He was a councillor in the Newry and Mourne, and Ollie McMahon, Big O. Then there was Star Radio in Monaghan, which is still going. Was involved in that. And the maintenance, both installing and the maintenance of all those. And there was another one, Northern Star in Monaghan, or North Star, another AM transmitter. I wasn't heavily involved in that one, but I was about. And then, of course, there was Kiss FM, which was Peter Gibney. It was a transmitter, actually, that was bought from Breffni Radio that was imported from America. And that was installed there. Peter Gibney was involved in that with Miles Johnston. Then there was KITS, K-I-T-S, with Frank McCarty, up in North Monaghan. And then there was the father and son radio down in Carlow, where it was Eric Vaughan, or Eric Griffin, had a station, and then his father had a station. Two of them had a station in one town. Two 500 watt transmitters, 500 AM, and I think they were running 250 watts FM. I'm trying to think, there were so many of them at the time. I think I read about 47 of them at one time. And actually, I met a gentleman out here today, Dermot Layden. He had one. I set up one for him in Boyle and County Roscommon, which subsequently was moved to Sligo Town. I can't think of the name of them.
After all the time of working on transmitters and transmission signals and all that sort of stuff, did you ever feel inclined to get onto the other side of the microphone?
No, never.
And all those years you spent with all these various stations, you must have come across a few people who have ended up being household names since then.
Oh, yeah. They would have, yeah. I'm trying to think of them. I just can't think of some of them off the top of my head. I remember Frank Mitchell, who's now does the weather on UTV. There was a few up northwest. There was Kate. She works for the BBC now. I just can't think of her second name. I'm a bit nervous, so when you're nervous, I can't think.
Not a problem. One of the things that occurred to me is, like, over all those stations, were some of them commercial, some of them community-based, some of them really voluntary?
No, there was none of them voluntary. They were all in it. There was another one down in Ballinasloe called Candy Radio, set up that. And then that was sold to a gentleman in Loughrea in Galway. It was called Galway District Radio. So people used to laugh. They called it the GDR. It was before the Berlin Wall came down. Some of them were run. The ones in Donegal were a commercial success. NWCR, Radio North, and DCR. The ones down the west, the Paul Claffey and Chris Carroll had, were very, very well run, very well organised. And it's, of course, Byneside was it's now LMFM or the same people. Sean Kynes, the Mullagar, Sean Kynes always said that he was the biggest station outside of Dublin. He covered from coast to coast because he had another AM in Galway City, and he had a number of FMs located throughout the country.
Whenever a number of technical blokes get sitting around, there are always good horror stories that are well polished up to be told. Do you have any good ones yourself?
I have, but I'd prefer not to tell.
Oh, no nights running away from people in vans at the middle of the night.
No, we used to have, especially working along the border, there was two stations. One was the radio... Rainbow site was very close to border. I remember going in one night and the British Army were in the on the site, and the same happened on the NWCR had a fill-in transmitter in South Donegal beside a town near Castledergan, County Tyrone, and we had the similar incident happened at that site where the British were on the moved in on the site. Other than that, I've never. You know, those funny things happened, of course. But in general, I've never seen any major disaster. Now.
Looking back at the stations, do you remember if many of them carried, say, news or had their own reporters or anything like that?
Oh, they had, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Some of them were very professional. NWCR and Donegal had the full news crew there. Of course, they took the news from the teletext. And they weren't very, the timing used to be a bit out. So some journalist in the Derry Journal wrote one time that it was called, the reason why it was called NWCR was because it was no watches or clocks radio, that they didn't bother with times.
I like the sound of that, all right. In the earlier days, visits by the department to ask you to cease broadcasting were common. Were you ever on site when anything like that happened?
No, never was. I was close, all right, but never was.
And do you remember at all the, I suppose, 31st of December in 88 when all the unlicensed broadcasters were asked to cease and desist. Do you remember where you were at the time?
I do, surely, yeah. I visited Breffni Radio in Cavan. I went then to Radio West in Mullingar. From Radio West, I went to, I think it was Q102, or the Q102 closed down the day before, I forget. And then we went to the radio up at the border, Rainbow Radio, because I had set up another radio station down in County Cork in Mallow, and lads from Mallow came up to play the night out at that station in at the border at Killeen in North County Louth. So that's where I was for the remainder of that night. I travelled home then.
Now, you involved yourself in the transmitter side. Did you do the studio equipment side of things?
Some of it, yeah. Especially the smaller ones would have done all the studio equipment, just the mixing desk. And that time, two tape decks, two turntables, a compressor. It was fairly basic equipment.
And then things would have stepped up a gear when people started using FM.
They did, yeah. I remember the first CDs that came out up in Radio North in Carrandon and Donegal. There was a DJ there called Packy Bradley. And Packy never seen a CD before, and he tried to play it on the record player. And there was, I'm sure there's loads of stories about those
types of
incidents. Yeah.
And then they would have moved on to Well, I suppose more expensive transmission gear and Optimods and processors like that coming into the game.
Some of them had Optimods. Well, Radio West had an Optimod and a lot of processing. KITS and Mono and Town had a lot of processing. And, of course, KISS FM. KISS FM was very, very, was very professional in every way. You know, they had professional studios, transmitters were all state-of-the-art, sites were all good.
And I suppose, if you can you remember the date when you first, leaving aside your own homebrew transmitter that you had at home that your mum called in the authorities on you, that the first transmitter you turned on for another station?
I suppose the first big one I turned on, I suppose, would have been that was involved independently myself, would have been NWCR in Donegal.
Do you realise how many people have listened to your work?
Oh, I would. I remember when we set up the one in Donegal, we were testing for a day or two, and I remember walking down the street of Buncrana that night, and there was a queue of about 150 people waiting to get into the studio to apply for jobs because they had nothing. They didn't even, RT was quite bad up there. So, you know, the signal strength was from the Midlands up to the Northwest. So the only thing they had up that part of the country was BBC Radio File. So the amount of excitement that it generated was unbelievable. It was just amazing. And it was nice to see that, you know. You don't get that nowadays because it's all iPads and internet and, you know, there's no excitement.
There's still a bit of romance left in radio, though, isn't there?
Maybe, for some of us. Not for the youngsters, I don't think.
Dear. You mentioned so many stations. You mentioned 40-plus stations that you've been involved with over the years. And when you look at, you know, the coverage you've talked about, you talked about, obviously, the home stomping ground of Cavan, Monaghan and Louth. A lot of sterling work in Donegal, which you said was starved of signals, and across then into Galway, Sligo. You said Westmeath, Rosslare,
Mayo,
yeah, and down into
Cork
as well.
Carlow.
Is there a county you missed?
Well, I didn't do very much. I worked in Kerry and Limerick. I'd done the Galty Radio in Limerick for John Reardon from Breffni Radio. He had a station in Limerick called Galty Radio on 792, which was the same frequency as Radio File in Derry. And it was an excellent, the site was excellent for transmission. So that was it. Limerick, Galway, I never done that in Limerick, Kerry, I worked in Kerry, Cork. I never done anything in Waterford or Wexford. Or Wicklow. I don't know, or looked after a few little ones here in the city, Dublin. I can't remember the names of them. They were small FMs.
Gone into the mists of time.
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever find yourself driving around the country and remembering sights?
Oh, of course, yeah. Back in the mid-90s, Dennis O'Brien approached me about sights. And I asked him, what did he want sights for? He says, well, you would know a lot of sights. I said, I do. I says, why do you want them? He says, for the new mobile telephone license. But I says, you don't have it. You don't have a mobile phone license. He says, but somebody's going to have it. He says, I want to know what the sights are. So he was thinking ahead.
He was?
Yeah.
Right. Thank you very much indeed. We're just coming up to 10 past 2 on this 20th of October 2018. Looking back over how many years altogether?
To 1979 when I got involved first.
79 and when? What stations are you still working with now?
I don't work with anything at all now.
So when would be the last?
The last I worked with would have been North Atlantic Radio in Donegal, which was the one that came after Radio North, after it closed down. They continued to broadcast and still broadcasting on 846. So that's still, it belongs to a religious radio station now. And that's the last one I worked on up until 94.
94?
Yeah, yeah.
So a long time looking at the glow of elves.
Yeah.
Listen, thanks very much, Gerry Riley. Really appreciate taking the opportunity to talk.
Thank you very much.